the beer is flowing. There's a big bald eagle wheeling over the fairgrounds. Are we glad we came back to Baraboo? Yeah. This is our theme, man. Make it a party. Our next speaker is Mike McCabe. I just got done reading Mike McCabe's new book, Blue Jeans in High Places, The Coming Makeover of American Politics, and I felt really inspired. I've known Mike McCabe for a long time. As the head of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, he has been a leading whistleblower on campaign finance wrongdoing and its escalation in Wisconsin. He's a tremendous asset to the state of Wisconsin. He's a tremendous speaker, and he is getting serious about leading a progressive movement to reclaim our politics. Please welcome Mike McCabe.
Thank you, Ruth. And thank you all for being here. This is my 13th Fighting Bob Fest. And I'll be here for number 14, and I'll be here for number 15 and 16, and for as long as this festival's held, as long as they got straw or hay up on the stage here, I'll be here. But this will be the last time that I'm at Fighting Bob Fest as director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. When I join you in the future, it's going to be in a new role, but I promise you this. I promise you this. I am staying in the fight for democracy. That fight's going to take on a, I'm going to fight from a different angle perhaps, but I'm going to stay in the fight because we face conditions today that haven't been faced in our lifetimes. We are in the fight of our lives. And, you know, that's the bad news. We're up against voter suppression and there are cancers being introduced into the body of democracy and we have assaults on public education. And all of those bits of bad news would be familiar to Fighting Bob La Follette if he were with us today. All of that would be eerily familiar to him. But I think it's also very, very important if we are to truly honor the spirit of Bob La Follette, it's important for us to focus on the good news. That it is always, always darkest before the dawn. And there are telltale signs that are increasingly evident that an historic resculpting of the political landscape is drawing near. And Bob La Follette, if he were with us today, he would sense that, and he would see that opportunity. And if we are to truly honor Bob La Follette's spirit at Fighting Bob Fest, we too need to sense that opportunity and that moment is drawing near. And we have to remember that Bob La Follette rose to prominence amidst conditions that were virtually identical to those facing us today. And you know, I as Ruth said, I have written this book, Blue Jeans in High Places. And in this book, I write about a moment of truth that was arrived at 123 years ago, almost to the day, on September 17th of 1891. A Republican leader approached a 35-year-old attorney and offered him a bribe to fix a case. And it was that young attorney's moment of truth. That young attorney's name was Robert M. La Follette. And at that moment, Bob La Follette knew what he had to do. And the very first thing that Fighting Bob La Follette did, before all of the great reforms were accomplished, before all of what Bob La Follette put down his life for, before all of that, Bob La Follette did one remarkable thing. He fashioned himself a new political identity. Bob La Follette, you see, was a Republican. But that Republican leader approached him and bribed him to fix a case, and it made him realize that his party, his political identity, had grown corrupt. And he could no longer, in good conscience, call himself a Republican. And he started calling himself a brand new term. He called himself a progressive. And that was the very first thing Bob La Follette did. And without that step, Without doing that, all of the rest that he accomplished and that his allies accomplished would not have happened. Bob La Follette fashioned himself a new identity. We face conditions that are so eerily reminiscent to those that our great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents faced in Bob La Follette's time, that it's time for us to also fashion a new political identity. And that's what inspired me to write this book. A lot of people have asked me why it was given this title, Blue Jeans in High Places. It was inspired when I was speaking at the Wisconsin Farmers Union State Convention. And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I had 250 farmers in front of me. And I said, how many of you own a donkey? And much to my surprise, not a single hand in the audience goes up. And I said, oh, come on, somebody out there has still got to have a donkey on their farm. And not a single person admitted to it. And I said, all right, how many of you own an elephant? And of course, no hands go up. And then I said, how many of you own a pair of blue jeans? And every hand in the audience goes up. And I ask you the same question. How many of you own a pair of blue jeans? Now, what symbol better represents us as a people? A donkey, an elephant, or a pair of blue jeans? And what symbol better distinguishes us as a people from the suits on Wall Street and K Street and on Capitol Hill who seek to lord over us? The donkey, the elephant, or the pair of blue jeans? And Bob La Follette, in his day, a Republican, decided that he was politically homeless. He didn't belong there anymore, and he decided to break ranks and call himself something new. But keep in mind, when Bob La Follette did that, it didn't result in three or more parties on the political landscape permanently. It did lead to the extermination of the Whig Party. But what it did is it dramatically refashioned the political landscape across America, because the major parties had no choice but to reconnect with the people in a meaningful way. And at this moment, where we have two parties that are failing us, they are failing us in different ways. I am not one of those people who claims that the two parties are really one, that there's no way of distinguishing between the two. The two parties are significantly different. But they are both failing America in significant ways. They're failing in different ways, but they are failing us nevertheless. And most Americans now feel politically homeless. They feel as though nobody is really working for them. And with apologies to those of you who are loyal partisans in the audience, most Americans are not like you. Most Americans, when they see what the two major parties are offering them today, feel as though they are doomed to hold their noses and choose between the lesser of evils. And when those conditions existed in the past, your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents imagined a new identity and built a movement around that identity and an accompanying agenda that forced the parties to come back to where the people were. And that is our challenge today. And that leads me to the second thing that Bob La Follette did. Bob La Follette refashioned himself a new identity. But then the second thing Bob La Follette did is he thought really big. He and his allies put together an ambitious, an enormously bold agenda. And that agenda eventually was enacted into policy, and it changed America. It changed both political parties. Teddy Roosevelt had no choice but to run as a progressive on the Republican ticket. Some years later, Woodrow Wilson ran as a progressive on the Democratic ticket. They had to be where the people were. But they did it because Bob La Follette understood that austerity was killing America. And I'm not just talking about economic austerity. I'm talking about political austerity was killing America. And it is killing America today. Austerity is killing America's economy, but much more importantly, political austerity is ruining our democracy and laying waste to our country. We have to think big again. And I won't go through all of the policy frontiers where we need to think bigger, but let me just say this. Where in the hell are the voices in American politics saying that we ought to have free public education all the way through college? When you say that, people in the political class say, how could we possibly afford that? Or that's socialism. I am sorry. Our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents were not socialists. And yet, they built a system of free public education all the way through high school because they knew that their kids and grandkids would need it. They paid for it, and they had a heck of a lot less money than we did, and they paid for it because they knew that their kids and grandkids would need it. And, you know, they had so much less going for them then than we do now. Many of them didn't have high school diplomas. A lot of them were illiterate, and yet they understood that their kids and grandkids weren't all going to be working the land. A lot of them were going to go to factories and to offices, and that they would need more education than they had. And they built that system of free public education all the way through high school. And here we sit today, and I ask you this question. Can you look me in the eye? Can you look into your own heart and say that a high school diploma alone is a sure pathway to the American dream for our young kids and grandkids? Then what the hell are we afraid of? They, in order to experience the American dream, they need to make sure that they have access to education that they will require. We have an obligation to find a way to pay for that. We have to find the means to fight for that. Because without that, what we are doing is sentencing our young people to debt. Without that, what we are doing is burying young people's American dream under that mountain of debt. And if Bob La Follette were among us today, he would surely recognize that that austerity has got to go. Fighting Bob La Follette stood on the shoulders of your great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, this festival could just as easily be named for them. And I refuse to believe that we are less able than they were, less able than our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. We've got more money than they had. We've got more education. We've got far greater means of education. I refuse to believe that we are less able to re-sculpt our political landscape than they were. We have it in our power to make over American politics. We have it in our power to do what fighting Bob La Follette did in his day. We do not have to make history. We only have to repeat it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.